January 23rd. I'm kind of running behind on updates. There's a lot of variants that are popping up and kind of overwhelming the activities I'm trying to put on maps. They're actually TMTC in several of the countries in Europe. So I'm trying to focus on getting the data up in the U.S. and to some degree Canada. And I thought I'd do a quick update on Canada because of what happened in a long-term care facility, Barrie, Ontario. There's been some issues as to whether there's an increase in fatality rates with the new variant from UK, the B.1.1.7. This variant is spreading in the US. I think the latest count is over 220 now. And the count's actually going to go up dramatically in Canada due to this outbreak in the long-term care facility. It was just identified in 6 out of 6 swabs that the infection is B.1.1.7. And, you know, I've said in the past that that the viral load kind of determines how the virus is going to behave in a given host, and that if people are infected with a high viral load, they just aren't going to do as well. And that's essentially what's happening with the variant. The variant, at least the ones that are being identified, are growing to our high viral loads. They're actually, in the U.S., they're screening using the S dropout method, where the test is positive on 2 of the genes, the N gene and the ORF1AB, and it's negative on the S gene. And they're basically using a relatively high cutoff for the values on the two positives. I mean, it's a low CT value, meaning a high viral load. And those are the ones they're selecting. This is being done in actually throughout the country. But the lab that's really generating the largest number of samples is using a fairly high cutoff for those samples. And the point is that if there's a lot of virus there, the patient isn't going to do as well. And there's still going to be an age difference. So more children will end up in the hospital and more younger adults will end up in the hospital. So statements saying that, well, if you go to the hospital, you have no higher chance of dying than you do under the normal COVID or SARS-CoV-2. Well, that may be true, but that's really apples to oranges, because the ones going in the hospital from the earlier version are generally older patients. And so they're not equal in age. You got a much higher representation for younger ages with the variants. And these young people generally aren't going to die, but they are going to be sicker. And it just is kind of a continuum. So people that maybe are 60 years old that normally wouldn't die with the regular strain would end up getting very ill and potentially dying because it's a higher viral load, and the older the patients are, especially with underlying conditions, the less able they are to win the battle against the virus. And so they're going to get sicker and more are going to die. And so just saying hospitalization, ignoring age, is really apples and oranges. You really need to compare older patients with the variant and older patients with the original strain, and that would give you a better idea. And they probably don't have enough when they stratify by age and there are serious cases that end up dying. Their sample size is probably not as big as it could be, because this variant started relatively recently, even in the UK. And the large increases of cases is probably on the early side to have a lot of them dying. But to give an idea of what that virus can do, this long-term care facility in Barrie, Ontario, gives a very clear picture. The outbreak began there on January 8th, and 124 out of 127 residents have symptoms, as do 84 staff members. And so far on the testing, 55 of the cases were identified in the first 48 hours of the outbreak using PCR testing. And there are already 29 of the residents have died. So it seems that the death rate will be exceedingly high. The number of deaths will be exceedingly high. And when they first saw it, the outbreak, they assumed it had to be a variant because of how quickly it went through the facility and how high the attack rate was. And so a virus is going to grow to high levels and produce a high viral load and a low CT value. Is a virus going to cause more problems for all age groups and more deaths for those that are on the older side or have more comorbidities and are more at risk? And the idea that you're going to have a lot more virus, I mean, the most likely way that you could come up with a high viral load and high transmissibility and not higher, poorer outcomes would be is if for some reason the virus is growing to high levels just in the upper respiratory tract, so it's easily transmissible because there's a lot of virus, but it doesn't really spread. But that's really not consistent with what's known about the virus. The virus has a polybasic cleavage site. It binds to ACE2 receptors, which are widespread. The polybasic cleavage site is cleaved by furin, which is a protease that's also widespread. So this virus can go to a lot of different cell types. And the idea that it's just going to hang around in the upper respiratory tract, I mean, you could make that argue that the 501 change, the N going to Y, increases the affinity for some receptors that are, you know, exclusively in the upper respiratory tract. But I would put that into a highly unlikely category, and that it probably just makes the binding to the receptor more efficient, and it doesn't matter where that receptor is. And it's already known that this virus can attack multiple organs.